Okay. Praise the Lord. It's good to be together once again. And it's interesting, I find myself being challenged because I've been talking so much about how church was back in the day and how we have changed it so drastically that it's not even recognizable anymore as church from the early 100, 200, even 300 years of the beginnings. And yet I enjoy coming together to do church with you. Isn't that ironic? It's what we have, it's what we're using, it's what we can be blessed by, and what we can bless the Lord with. I'm just thankful that we can also think outside the box, and we are doing that as a body, as a family. I'm excited about the planting of a church here in our community for those that would not feel welcome in their own mind, because we know we would welcome anyone here, but they don't feel comfortable coming into a structure of this nature, into a church building. They've been hurt by religion. They've been hurt by so-called Christian people, or maybe they just never really knew Christian people or true, genuine believers, and they are just hurting and not sure where to go and how to find God. We're going to bring dinner church to our community, and hopefully and prayerfully, with God's goodness, see a wonderful turnout of people that would say, yes, I would love to sit around a table and talk about Jesus with you. I'm excited about it. It's different. It's refreshing. It's new. But it's going to take a lot of challenges on our part to be sure it happens. And so we are doing dinner church training. I originally had it planned for today, but we had to move it back because of a conflict. So we're going to do it next Sunday and the following Sunday. And so that will be for those of you who have not been able to take in the training already and you're wanting to be a part of dinner church. If you are not sure if you want to be a part of this, please come and take in the training anyway. You may be surprised at what you learn and how you are stirred in your own spirit about what this is really all about. And I encourage you to be a part of it. We do need to have an idea of who. Do we have a sign-up sheet somewhere? On the desk in our new four-year fellowship area, you will find a clipboard. Please sign your name there if you're interested in being a part of that. And we'll have that wonderful training. It's only a three-hour segment the first Sunday and a three-hour segment the following Sunday. It should not be too difficult to manage that. We did it in a longer sitting time with the first group of trainers. And so we'll hopefully have a good turnout for that. School starts. Hallelujah. Where'd that come from? That must have been the hosts of heaven, right? School, it's starting, and I'm excited that we are able to see. Mostly, it sounds like things will be somewhat normal at the schools. I know there'll be a meeting tomorrow night if you're interested in discussing how normal that will be. You can certainly be encouraged to attend that and share your voice and your opinions. Let's be respectful and honoring no matter what we say. Amen? So be a part of that if you have students in school. So that's exciting. We have a board meeting this week. Exciting times. We always enjoy our time of fellowship. Fellowship Friday this week at the Smiths. I'm looking forward to that. And it should be a great, wonderful, exciting time of fellowship as well. And we also have other things there for you. Kids Quest registration, ladies topical study. Good stuff. One thing that's in the bulletin that is no longer. It got canceled. Everybody go, aw. Well, maybe I should say all the ladies go, aw. Ladies' conference has been canceled. There was some complications with the speaker, restrictions in a hot zone for COVID, et cetera, et cetera. And so no longer. And so that's sad. I know we had some ladies excited about that. So that's the announcements. We don't have a commercial today, so you're just going to have to use your imagination on what they're going to do downstairs. Wild and crazy, good stuff for Jesus. That sound fair? Woohoo! All right, so I'm going to have the kids dismissed for kids' church. And we are going to turn in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Everybody put your seatbelts on. Get your steel-toe boots pulled up nice and tight. Make sure they're good and fitted well. How many have ever worn steel-toed boots before? Okay. How many have worn steel-toed boots and then been very thankful you were wearing the steel-toed boots? Okay. Not because you were kicking somebody. That's very unfair and not nice, because that hurts really bad. I've been kicked by steel-toed boots. I don't remember who did that, but ouch. No, sometimes those heavy objects, and suddenly you're going, whoa, I'm so glad that I had those boots on. I wish I could say I've experienced that. I've only experienced that, oh, man, I wish I had steel-toed boots on before. Anybody ever do farrier work with horses? Okay, that's just me then. Fun times. You do quarter horses, Shetland ponies, Welches. You know, those are fine and dandy. You grab them, you wrestle them, you hold them, you scrape them, you do your thing. Get the flog out, you know, all that good stuff. Rasp it really good and clean. Then you get up to the pertrons, and you're working those pertrons. And what was his name? Thor? Thor. Thor was big. He was probably 17 or 18 hands. He probably weighed about 1,500 pounds. I liked Thor. He was a good guy. He had a mustache. Anybody have pertrons? And they literally, he had a handlebar mustache. I'm not kidding you. It was amazing. It was beautiful. So anyway, I'm working Thor, and I'm working on that front foot, and everything's going fine. I'm rasping it down, and I put the foot down when I cleaned it up nice and clean, and he puts his foot on my foot. I'm wearing cowboy boots because I'm a cowboy. And he's like on my foot, and I'm like, oh, this is not good because this hurts, right? But this was not the half of it. I decided I'm going to nicely push him off of my boot. Now, if you've ever worked horses or cattle or sheep or anything else, you know that when you push, they push back. Well, me against 1,500 pounds of horse flesh was not a match. And I pushed, and he goes, oh, yeah? And he leaned, and I heard this snap, crackle, pop. Just like Rice Krispies back in the day. Ooh, wow. And that hurt bad. Oh, man. And then I realized this isn't good. So I gave him the old knee in the gut, you know, knee in the ribs. And he kind of flinched a little bit. I hit him hard. I did. I hit him hard with my knee. And up his foot goes, and away we went. And my feet, they survived. Well, I'm hoping today you don't feel the snap, crackle, pop. But you might. Aren't you excited? I'm so excited. I've already felt the snap, crackle, pop. I get to preach to myself every day I work on this thing. So, hey, Journey to Maturity. That's the title of the message. It's not on the bulletin because I wrestled this thing all week. And I finally got it chiseled out after the bulletin was printed. So you'll have to use the church app. It's there. Or you can follow along with the verses. But Journey to Maturity, there should be places to take notes. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 11, it starts here and it says this. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. And this phrase is important. Building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood. And I'm going to say, ladies, that includes you. I know it doesn't say that, but it does. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I love the way that reads. So that we may no longer be children. Hallelujah. Tossed to and fro by the waves carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up. Oh, ouch. Everybody's just a little bit of snap crackle. Grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Whew, that's good stuff right there. Good stuff. Well, let's pray. Lord, we need to grow. We need to be strong in faith. We certainly want to be knowledgeable. But Lord, most importantly, we want to be mature. We want to follow you as you have desired for us too. In a way that is honoring to you, honoring to one another, honoring to those who are in this world, to bless them, not because of their lostness, but bless them so that they come into a place of salvation, to experience love, not judgment. That we would love each other, not quarrel or fight amongst each other. That we would grow into the person that you've called us to be, the body of Christ. Lord, I need your help. Lord, we all need your help to truly grow in our faith, in our maturity. And I just pray, Lord God, as we open our hearts to your word, we will receive your words to ourselves. Be encouraged, yes, but also challenged as we walk with you. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Maturity is a challenging thing, honestly. You can look at it different ways. We can talk about the spiritual maturity of the church, of the brotherhood, of the brethren as it used to be expressed, of the church family is what I like to say, because we're all part of this together. But I also can look at just the natural world. You can look at the natural world of children. And we see this not only because we have had the blessing of raising three wonderful, beautiful children of our own, but we've also had the opportunity to see our grandchildren growing, and we've had other opportunities to have other family members that we call our forever family as part of our home as well. And here's what we have learned, here's what you know to be true, and what our world knows to be true. Children need relationships and attachments that are healthy. That's truth. You can call it whatever you want. You can speak to it from a perspective of spirituality, or you can look at it from a biological standpoint, from a mental standpoint, from a psychologist's standpoint, and the truth doesn't change. People need attachments that are healthy, joyful, and loving so that they can learn and grow into healthy people, healthy adults. If healthy attachments are not present, no amount of knowledge will help them become successful adults. You can't tell somebody how to do life and find it successfully received unless there are healthy attachments that go with it. I remember going through those growing stages as a child, thinking about whether or not I should do something I know was wrong. What kept me from doing what was wrong? Just a wonderful, awesome respect and honor towards my parents. No, it was the fear of God. It was knowing that if I break this rule and I get caught, I will be punished, right? That was the way it began in my life. But I'm thankful to say that's not the way it ended. Because as I learned and grew in maturity, I began to see that healthy and honorable respect one to another isn't just a good rule to follow for kids, it's actually a rule that adults follow as well. And you don't do things that are harmful to each other, and you don't do things that are harmful to yourself, and you don't do things that would cause pain and sorrow and divides, and you respect and honor one another. And if I was only told to do that or else, I probably would have done it anyway at some point in time. I can take it. It's worth it. I can take whatever punishment is laid out upon me. I'm going to do my thing. But no, I learned as I grew into something and understanding that it's not right. And it wasn't just because I was told these things. But I'm so thankful that I had healthy attachments to people that loved me enough to show me these things. Now, every family has their imperfections, and my family is no different. I could certainly go down a list of all the things I could say about how my mom or my dad was not perfect. Aren't you thankful I'm not about to do that today? I know mom and dad are, because they could give me a pretty good list about my imperfections too. We could do that to each other. And yet demonstrating through healthy attachments, the knowledge of what is right and wrong brings success. Here's the irony. Discipleship in the church has been focusing for centuries upon Bible knowledge and intellectual training, which is all good stuff, but we have been overlooking the importance of healthy attachments. And as a result, what do we have? We have raised up an unhealthy, traumatized, underdeveloped Christian community. Ouch. Ouch. So I want you to hear two things. One is, it's not all your fault. Everybody says, oh, thank you, thank you. I can breathe now. It's not all your fault that you may feel underdeveloped in your maturity as a believer in Jesus Christ. It's what we have put together in a culture of church. You listen to me tell you what to do. And then you say, that was a good word, or maybe that wasn't the greatest word, or whatever you say. Hopefully it's a good word. I like that one better. And you walk away from this building, and you choose whether or not you're going to remember what you heard, and you choose whether or not you're going to do what you heard, and you do life. And then you come back next Sunday and you do it again. And you're wondering, is this series going to continue? When is it going to be over? Or you might like the series and I can't wait for the next lesson. But you hear knowledge and you understand and you walk away, but you don't do it together in community. And so the relational attachments that bring health in families is not applied to church, because we're not doing it in an attachment, love-based way. Unless you have gone outside of those boundaries and began to develop relationships with others, and now together you're saying, hey, let's do this. Let's do what God has called us to do in community, in fellowship, in love and relationship, because relationship is so critically important, and yet, once again, I say, we have not emphasized it enough. So the journey of maturity has been broken because we have taken the community out of the church, drastically damaging our growth. Here's what a healthy believer will do. I want you to understand this is sincere, this is good. A healthy believer will love God and his brother and his neighbor so sincerely that it becomes natural to follow the commands of God and to put others above self. A healthy believer naturally does these things. Growing up in Christ cannot be lectured into existence. What am I saying? I'm saying that I have good words to say. I believe that. This is my calling. I enjoy having the opportunity to share in a word. But what I tell you cannot change your life. That in and of itself is not enough. Hearing truth and good words is not enough. It cannot be lectured. You cannot lecture a child into maturity. Do this or else. What do they say or see? They often see, do what I say, don't do what I do. It happens a lot. We tell kids, love each other. And then we talk about others behind their back in their presence. And what do they see? That's not love. All right, stop it, stop it. Quit stepping on my toes. We say, love each other, forgive each other as Christ forgave you. And then we hold judgment against somebody who hurt us. And I'm never going to forgive them. Wait a minute. Something's broken here. Something's not right. Something has to change. It's critically, critically important that we all grow up in all things into him who is the head, into Christ. I don't expect a 3-year-old to act like a 23-year-old. I don't expect a new believer in our fellowship of family to act like a 50-year veteran of the faith. I expect growing mistakes to happen. I expect imperfections to be a part of the daily life of the believer's walk. But I do expect love to be demonstrated in all things. God expects love to be demonstrated in all things. Because how can you tell a new believer to love each other when you can't love them? And what is love? Love is not verbal. Love is not just things that you say. Love is demonstrated. And so let's talk about the journey that begins with love. John chapter 13. You're going to love this. I know you will. You're going to say, this is good stuff. At least I thought so when I saw it. John chapter 13, verse 34. This is perplexing and wonderful all at the same time. And I'll explain why it's perplexing. Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he says these words, "A new commandment I give to you." All right, this will be fun. A new one. Whew, I can't wait. Something different. That you love one another. Huh? "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another." Whoa, 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 whoa. What is Jesus saying here? Well, he's saying something prophetic. It's not just words that they're hearing about the here and now, because later on, as it was written and it was followed through the understanding of the early church, Jesus loved us how much? He died for me. Even while I was yet a sinner, he died for me. And Jesus says, for me to love people that way? You mean I'm supposed to love somebody that hurt me? I'm supposed to love somebody that's not perfect? I'm supposed to love somebody that doesn't love me back? Yep. That's what Jesus did, and that's what he says to them. Love the way I love. And why is this so critically important? Because of verse 35, and this is where it just really blows up into this amazing truth. "By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Okay then. The journey to maturity begins with love. A new commandment, which doesn't sound new at all. Actually, if you look back at Matthew chapter 22, there's something that kind of rings similar to what Jesus just said here. Matthew 22, verse 36. "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to them, or him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." This is that chesed love I was referring to last week. This is the great and first commandment. In other words, this is the most important. Not the greatest, meaning large in structure. It's not great, meaning the first one stated. It means it's the most important commandment of all is this. Love God with chesed love. Totally all in, heart, soul, mind, all of it. But then he says this, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the better understanding of that, to just grasp it, is love your neighbor who is just like you. Love everyone. Love God and love your neighbor. And then he also expands and basically says, you will not sin if you do this. You won't sin against God the Father. You won't sin against your brother. You won't sin against your neighbor because you love them. And I got into a little discussion after last week's lesson about it, because it sounds almost unbelievable that we could live sinlessly if we simply loved with this kind of love. And the truth is, yes. You can. The question is, can you love this way? Can you truly love the way Jesus has loved you? Can you give yourself up for someone who doesn't deserve it? Can you put another's needs above your own, knowing that you want something, and yet you're willing to give it up freely because you think they need something more important than you need something? I mean, that's a love that's really hard to do, isn't it? And so the challenge is, as we grow in our maturity, we will begin to love this way more. It will become more sincere. It will become more of a habit rather than a very difficult, intentional, purposeful thing. You will learn how to love through your growing in Christ. Now, Jesus says, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Here's what I always think of: the lost. And it does apply. The lost, the hurting, the ones that do not have any faith in God, no religious experience at all, they're going to look at the church and they're going to deem this is worthy because look at how they love each other. I mean, it's amazing, the community and the love and the care and how they just constantly are just flowing with that joy and that peace one to another. I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of this great family. I would love to be welcomed into that fellowship. And we pray and we hope that that's the truth. But here's what I don't see when I read it that I should see. My children. My children are part of the all people. My grandchildren are part of the all people. My brother and my sister sitting in the pew this morning are part of the all people. We've thought, oh, we're to demonstrate our love so the world will come to faith. No, how about we think bigger? How about we demonstrate love one to another so that we know we are disciples of Christ? So that my children know that this is a real faith. It's not just a hoax. It's not just religion. It's not just hopeful. I hope it's true. But it's real because of the demonstration of genuine love one to another. All people will know that you are my disciples. That includes you and your neighbor, your husband, your wife, your children, your grandchildren. It includes the one across the street and the one next door. It includes the one that's across from the pump as you're putting gas in your tank and you're complaining because it's $3.19 a gallon. Ouch. Try fueling up a diesel pickup these days. My goodness, $100 bill. I remember when $100 meant something. Last week. No, I'm just kidding. Well, it still does. I mean, $100, right? That's like half a grocery cart at Walmart. Or Reynolds or Albertsons or at least a third grocery cart, right? So, what do people see? They see whether you love or not. This is the steel-toed boots time. Because your heart is always on display. Now, you can do good things and you can cover a lot of stuff, but there's something about the heart that's visible. People see it. What do they see? Oh God, I pray they see love. I pray they see, I love people. I love you. I love God. I'm willing to sacrifice my desire, my wants, because I know it's better for you. That's love. Our greatest foundation on the journey to maturity is learning to love well. Our children. And when I say this knowing that there is a high percentage of children that grew up in Christian homes that are not serving God today. I say this with heartbreak because I have to wonder then, is it possible that the very demonstration of love that God called us to have and to give was not seen in us? That all people will know that you are my disciples if you have this love. If they didn't see this love, then they would have to come to the conclusion that these are not his disciples, and therefore I want no part of it. That is a heartbreaking possibility. And so we must refocus on love. And love, by the way, cannot be demonstrated without relationship. You can tell me you love me. That's great. I love saying the words myself. I love you. I've said it. But you don't know I love you until I demonstrate it in a relationship. And we do not relate well. We don't have opportunities, or we don't make opportunities like we ought to relate one to another. Where are our gatherings and our fellowships and our connecting and our loving? If all a child sees is Sunday morning church and preaching and Sunday school teaching, that's not enough. They need to know love happens in this family. And if it's not happening, we need to fix something that's broken. Okay. Whew. Everybody shake it off. It's like, okay. Whew. Take a breath. Let's talk about unity. Oh, I thought you were going to go to something easy. Maturity develops in unity, Ephesians chapter 4, going back to our main text. Unity is tough. I've said this in my board meetings. I'll say it here as well just to show you my heart in all of this. We don't always agree on everything when we talk about things as a board. We want to agree 100%, and it often does happen. Matter of fact, I'd say it probably happens upwards close to 90% of the time that we have full agreement. But there's times where there isn't full agreement. That's reality, amen? But here's what I ask of my board, here's what I ask of you. When the decision is made, we are united. We don't leave the board and say, yeah, well, I didn't vote for that. Was my idea. If it crashes and burns, not my fault. No. We leave united. Decisions made. That's the way we need to have our church family as well. We are united. Even in our disagreements, by the way, we can have those. It's okay. I love it when somebody has a better idea than me. And I'm like, whoa, that's good. Let's do that. That's awesome. That's how we work together as a team, as a family. I can learn from you. Aren't you excited? I can learn from your thoughts and your ideas because you have experiences and knowledge that I don't have, and we can glean from each other. And when we make the decision to move forward, we move together. When we plant a church in Glendive, we do this together. Whether you're on the team specifically or not, we're doing this together. Amen? We're united. This is our ministry opportunity as a family to move forward with the God's gospel and wonderful love and kindness. So Ephesians, getting back to the text, chapter 4, verse 12 and verse 13. What does it say? Well, I got this big commentary in between here. Equipping the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. What does that mean? That's actually raising up mature believers. That's what it's intending to show you, that we are going to have all of these different ministries, the apostles, evangelists, shepherds, teachers, for what? So to build us all together up as a family into maturity, into the body of Christ. How do we know this? Well, because verse 13 explains it. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We must build one another up in maturity into a place of unity. The goal is to grow until we are unified completely in the faith. How is this even possible? Look at how diverse we are. Look around. Look at everyone that's here. We are all very different. How is it possible that a family of God can be united? Well, because there is one God. There's one Spirit. There's one gospel. And as we grow and mature in our faith together as a family, we begin to be united in a way that's miraculous. Because you're not going to have a Holy Spirit say this and a Holy Spirit say that. If you're hearing spirits that are contrary to the Holy Spirit, then that's not the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, sometimes that can happen, but oftentimes it's just flesh. It's like ideas, and we want to put into place our own thoughts and our own plans and not listen to God. I'm sure glad I've never done that before. Ha, 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 ha. That's usually a good way to learn a lesson how to fail. How to fail well. Do what you want, not what God wants. But as we grow, we are more united because we're hearing the voice of God together. Hallelujah. Maturity develops unity. Let's see what that looks like. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and verse 32. Here's the application. Here is how we get down to where the rubber meets the road. This is where the traction kicks in. This is where it pushes the car forward with turbocharge energy. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Well, that's saying it like it is. Stop being mean to each other. Well, okay. I guess I can stop being mean. Well, how about we do the opposite now? Verse 32. Be kind to one another. Well, there's a thought. Don't be mean. Be nice. Wow, that's just so easy, right? Tender-hearted. I love this next one. Forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. How do we grow in maturity? Well, we need to love each other. And we need to be united together because there's one God, one Holy Spirit, and that's awesome because he speaks one message for us. We just need to all listen together. That's part of our growth. And be nice to each other. Wow, that's so simple. Well, I don't know. I mean, that's just one passage of Scripture, so I'm not, you know, maybe it's just an anomaly in the verses, and it's not really something we have to pay that much attention to. Well, how about let's look at Colossians, just to make sure we're on the right page. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8 through verse 14. But now you must put them all away. Okay, that sounds very similar. Put what away? Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free. But Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts. Wow, this is pretty powerful. We say, stop being mean, love each other. kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. Whoa, I wanted to see the trial. You know, if one has a complaint against another, take him to court. Da-dum, dum, da-dum, dum, dum. This is the people's court. Who was the guy that started that? Back in the day, back in the 80s, what was his name? People's court? The first guy. He was cool. I don't know. I'm getting old. No. You have complaints against each other. That's normal. That's life. We're all people. We're not perfect. Forgive. Forgive. So you also must forgive. And above all else, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, unity. Isn't this one? Are you all having fun? Come on, let's be thankful for the good words that challenge us in the heart of hearts. And I do want to express once again that loving is absolutely critical to be involved with relationship. Now, you might be able to say, well, I haven't had an argument with anybody for years. I don't hold anything against anybody. Well, do you actually spend time with them? Because chances are, if you do, you will. You're not going to like the way they brag when they beat you in the Rook game or in Fill or Bust. That's a game we're doing now. We kind of like that. Anyway. Well, don't be a bad winner. That's not nice. And don't be a sore loser. Well, I was playing with Kevin Kirschman the other day, and he was just all over that table, you know, and he was so mean when he beat me really bad. Elise agrees, yep. Guess what? You can say with sincerity and genuineness, I forgive you, Kevin. You don't have to call him, oh, Kevin, by the way, you know when you beat me really bad and you're a jerk? Yeah, I love you, I forgive you. You know, he doesn't even need to know you were hurt by that. That's not the point. The point is, forgive. You don't carry, and I'm sorry, Kevin, I'm teasing you. I love playing games with Kevin, by the way, because we're both competitive and we can really get after it. And it's fun. And sometimes we just need to just work through that humanity of ourselves and love each other through it. And don't hold grudges and don't hold that again. Just forgive. The grace of God. We're a family. If you don't ever have any troubles that challenge you in the area of forgiveness, then you're probably not connected to very many people. You probably have very few attaching relationships. If you have attachments and relationships with people, then you will see that is an ongoing, growing experience to love sincerely, to sacrifice of yourself for the sake of the other, and also to willingly and graciously forgive if you've been hurt because you're in relationship and you love them enough to do so. You are a family that's growing and relational, and you're going to see these things happen. Therefore, the church is being told, stop being mean and start being loving. It's as simple as that. Why? Because it brings the unity of the body so that we can function together well. Now, these are both written by the same man. So let's see if one other person can help us see it for what it is. 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through verse 3. Just a short little window of instruction here. Oh, I'm in chapter 1. There we go. So, it says these words. Put away all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, and envy, and all slander. Same kind of instruction about stop being mean to each other. Put it away. That's an intentional thing that you must do. And verse 2 says this, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. That's part of our growing into maturity, is to put away all of the worldliness from us and take on the love of God. Verse 3 says, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. Put it away. We ought to be those who have grown in maturity of faith so that we are not easily offended and that we are very quick to forgive. That's a measure that I think we all need to hold true to our hearts. Here's a side note that was in one of the books I've been working through. Just interesting, I found, is Ephesians chapter 5. And this is in relationship, connection, about growing and maturing, about instruction and knowledge and learning. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 through verse 21. It says this, addressing one another in psalms and hymns, in spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. It's interesting that the author was telling me, and I see the truth of it, that there can be a joining of community and learning and growing by singing songs one to another. That's a lost art today. And the point was being made that we sing to God all the time. Every song we do is to Him. But did you know that the early stages of the church, they sang to each other? May God bless you and keep you and bless you and lead you. They were actually encouraging words of instruction through song one to another. I found that very interesting. Like, whoa. And they said, and imagine this. They didn't have churches where they had a group of musicians with a singer looking out and everybody looking forward, but you sat around the table and you sang at each other around the table. You're looking at each other's face as you're singing songs. I mean, that's just weird. I remember when we were working at a Christian camp and we were going to pray before the meal and someone says, let's sing Johnny Appleseed. And I'm like, what? And oh, the Lord's been good food to me and so I thank the Lord for giving me the something, something. Oh, the Lord's been good to me. Amen, 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 amen. Anybody else do that? That was so weird. I'm like, what is that? That's not a prayer. That was just weird. But you know what happened? I learned to love it. Not enough to remember the words, but I learned to love it. It's been too long. But there was something weird that happened. Everybody joined in, and it was a community prayer of song. And it was really kind of lame in some respects as far as theological, and yet it was something that we communed with, and it connected us. It uplifted us. Such a strange thing. I never really experienced it before, because all the songs I ever sang, as far as church-related or prayer-related, was to God. But somehow we communed through a silly song about the apple seed. I shouldn't say silly because some people think it's not silly. What was that? That was learning and growing in faith and fellowship to maturity through song. That used to be a common practice. Well, this must be the anomaly, like I said before. This is the only place that it's ever referred to. Well, actually, it's not. Look at Colossians with me. Colossians actually references the very same thing, so it must have been important. Colossians 3, verse 15 through verse 17. It says this, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and Father through Him. I never saw before in those two references that the singing and admonition of the church and the body was also including instructions through song, teaching one another through song. And so we can learn how important relationship is. There is something special that happens when we sing songs to the Lord in that fellowship that we have every Sunday. But there's also something special about singing to each other and learning from each other in the same manner. I was like, wow, that's interesting. I'll have to write a song because I don't think we have any anymore about how to encourage one another in our discipleship through song. Maybe you know some songs and you can let me know about it. And so maturity depends on relationship. And that's what I want to come back to emphasize one more time. I love that we have the internet capability of live stream and also the recorded version, which is basically the live stream that's available. I love that if you're missing, you can watch and you can be a part of that. But you will understand and know there's something missing. There's something not complete. What is it? It's us. It's the togetherness. It's the relationship. We're only getting a fraction of the relationship in our services, a very small fraction of communion one with another through our services the way we do it. We need to do better. We need to do more. Most of that is going to be on you. Just begin to reach out to each other. Begin to build relationship with each other. Don't wait for a program. Don't wait for some rule that says, here, you have to do this on that day. Simply just start saying, you know, I don't know so-and-so. I would like to get to know them more. Maybe we can find out if we have like interests. Maybe we like to go do things together. Maybe we can just go out to eat together. Those are things that we need to do more of. Don't keep the same circles. I know that's wonderful that you have friends, but there are others that need to know your love as well, because that is what the body of Christ is all about. And I want to encourage you that in order for our children to grow and mature into healthy adults, they need positive, healthy, joyful, loving connections in order to do so. Well, guess what? So do the disciples of Christ. A disciple needs the positive, healthy, joyful, loving relationship connections in order to truly be healthy as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to raise up a church that is mature. But it doesn't come because I instruct you. It doesn't come by learning more Bible verses. It comes from the application of building relationships one with another and actually seeing the Word of God lived out. The obvious is this: you cannot love someone you don't know. You just can't do it. You can have an empathy, you can have a God-given love for somebody that's unusual and inspiring and cool, because I have that. I still remember when I was talking to a complete stranger at the bank, at Stockman Bank, and we were waiting for the doors to open. We ended up talking a little bit, and I was sharing about, you know, a little bit about me, and then he shared about himself, how he was hurt by the church. And I remember when the doors opened, I looked at him, I said, I love you. And then I thought, what did I just say? I was like, whoa. And he kind of looked at me like, okay, weirdo. But it wasn't me, it was the Holy Spirit spoke it. I was just so pliable that I just said it. And I knew it was true. I don't know who that person is. I pray for them. Even though I couldn't even recognize his face today, and yet I pray for him, because I know it's true. God loves him, and because of the love of God in me, I love him. Now, I cannot demonstrate that until I have relationship, and maybe one day it'll happen. We have relationship opportunities. You need to know one to love someone. We need to love those who are in this world that aren't part of God's family. Quit judging the world and hating what they stand for. They're on opposite sides of the political spectrum, and they are supporting things that you detest. I get it. Love them. Love them. Allow the Holy Spirit to do that work in you and show them that you are a disciple of Christ through your loving actions, not your harshful words. There's no unity without relationship. Oneness with God is oneness with each other. Amen. Would you stand with me as we close? I put a little notation down. I forgot to pay attention to some of my little notes I wrote. But I'm going to say this one. This is not any way at all about how you feel. It's not about how you feel. God did not ask you to do something based on feeling. He said, do it because you love me. You will do these things because you love me. And so we begin the journey of maturity. It's a hard journey, but it's worth it. It's worth every moment to grow in love, to develop unity, and to build relationship. When your needs become less important to you than the needs of others, you have risen to a level of spiritual maturity that many in our world may never achieve. When you approach God with a desire to serve Him rather than ask of Him, you have reached a level of spiritual maturity that many in the church have not. I encourage you to strive with me on this journey to maturity and love and unity. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for the challenge to grow. Thank you for stepping on my toes, for getting right in my face with your truth and not giving me a way out. It's right here, plain and simple. Thank you. Thank you for leading me well. I pray that I can lead others well to truly love as you have called me to love. I pray for all who are here today and those online that they will receive the same challenge that I have to take that step of faith, to walk into a mature, believing walk. And I ask this all in your precious holy name. Amen. If you would like to take some time with the Lord at the altars are open for you. Maybe you just want to lay some things down before you walk home. We have a big fellowship area now, so those that want to talk, you got lots of room there. And otherwise, I encourage you, come to the altar if you would like to just take care of some business with Him. And otherwise, be dismissed. God bless you. Thanks for coming.